Welcome to the Executive Edition with Capital Area District Library's Executive Director, Scott Dimstra.
Welcome to our May edition, which will feature interviews with our past Executive Director, Maureen Hurton, and Superintendent of Williamson Community Schools, Dr. Adam Spina. Before we get to those interviews, I want to invite you to sign up for summer reading. You can sign up and view more information about summer reading on our website at cadl.org/summer. The program is for children, teens, and adults. It begins on June 8th, and again, visit our website at cadl.org/summer. We also have a renewal of our operating millage coming up. The vote is on August 7th. The renewal rate is 1.56 mils, and this is the same rate that we've had since 2006. So again, it is just a renewal. The vote is August 7th, and if you'd like more information, visit our website, cadl.org/renew. We'll be back with my first guest after this.
It's an exciting time for Capital Area District Libraries. They're celebrating 20 years of service in Ingham County. I'm here with Human Resources Director Julie Laxton talking about how CADL is giving back to the community.
That's right, Stephanie. Through an initiative called CADL Cares, our libraries have collected backpacks and toys for kids in need, personal hygiene products for women in shelters and homeless veterans, and signed up people for the Michigan-Oregon Donor Registry.
That's great to hear, Julie. CADL really does care about making a difference in our community. What other things are you doing?
CADL staff raises money for the Capital Area Literacy Coalition through the Casual for a Cause initiative and participates in community events like Recycle-Rama and Capital City River Run.
So how can our listeners find out more about CADL Cares as well as employment opportunities?
Just visit our website at CADL.org or any CADL location.
All right, sounds good. That's Julie Laxton, Human Resources Director from Capital Area District Libraries. They are celebrating 20 years of service in Ingham County.
We're joined with past Executive Director Maureen Hurton. Maureen was Executive Director of Capital Area District Libraries from 2011 to 2017, and she joins us from sunny Florida. Welcome, Maureen.
Thank you, Scott.
The only thing that we ask is you do not talk about the weather because it is April and snowing here in Michigan. So.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that is off topic. So I know that besides being executive director, you had a number of other positions at CADL. So could you just tell us about the different positions you had at CADL leading up to your retirement in 2017?
Sure. I moved to Michigan actually in 2002. My husband got a job here, so I came. And I had a lot of prior library experience when I came here, but I mm-hmm. first started working at the Okemos Library as the public services librarian.
Sure.
Joan Smith, who was the longtime head at Okemos, she hired me.
Sure.
She since passed away. At that time, CADL was still young, and the Okemos Library had just moved into a larger facility, their current location, which is a larger facility, in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So I became the public services librarian then, and then shortly after that, they decided to expand the staff and created a public services head position, which I then took and then supervised the public services department. Then in 2005, I moved to CADL administration and became the associate director of public services. I was in charge of public services for CADL and supervised all the library heads.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a really great job. And then, but later my responsibilities changed and a little bit, I mean, expanded a little bit, and I became
sure.
assistant director. And then in 2011, I became executive director.
Okay, great. You mentioned the heads, and I'll say that they still talk about you, and they still really, really miss you. So they're a great group of staff, yeah.
So I miss them.
Too. I know they're great. So you mentioned seeing CADL when they were young, and a lot of the changes that we've gone through. And as we celebrate our 20th birthday this year, could you just talk about how you've seen CADL grow in your time when you worked here?
Yeah, there's been a lot of changes, a lot of growth. It's CADL is an excellent library system. And I mean, I don't say that having been the former director, I just really think it is.
Sure.
But it changed gradually and adapted to the times. I mean, actually, some libraries really did get bigger, like Hazlitt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just expanded tremendously over the time. But as I said, it was young. And I remember when I started at the branch level, we were trying to get people into the library, you know, programming, put up nice displays, and try to tailor the collection to what the people wanted. We did some community outreach, but it wasn't quite as focused as it later became.
Sure.
And you remember public computers were huge.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah, I remember that.
People came into the library. Because people didn't have smartphones. They may have had cell phones, but they didn't have a little computer in their hand, you know, at the time. So if you didn't have internet service at home, you know, you came to the library.
Sure.
And then formats, you know, formats have changed tremendously. The expansion of the digital collection. Do you remember the reference collection was, you know, it was books.
Oh, it was huge.
It was lots of books.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, kids would come and use the encyclopedias. And the thing I remember, too, is adults would come in if they had, like, a health diagnosis. They'd come in to find out something about their health condition, which now seems like it's all digital content.
Exactly.
You know, you don't need to come into... You know, you can get help from the library staff, but the first place you look is probably Google when you're running a health diagnosis. but I think community outreach is another way that it changed a lot. I mean, now that we had the community outreach department that expanded, it's district-wide, it's very thriving. I mean, you've got specialty librarians, business, technology, local history is such a resource that changed completely. You know, it was a resource, but it wasn't so district-wide. It wasn't such an important thing as it was back then.
Sure.
I think we adapted with technology, like I said, like new services, new programming. But most of all, I think one of the changes in the growth has to do with, I think CATL helped change the perception of the public library in the Lansing area.
Mm-hmm.
I think because it adapted so well, it changed the idea that you come to the library for dusty old books, or if you want to go on vacation and you need a book on tape, you know, you'll get something that was out a few years ago, but it was never considered an alternative to bookstores back then. But now it's really a destination for people for different reasons. It appeals to different audiences. I know. Do you remember when we created that list of core services?
Yeah, I do
and
remember
that. Remember those raucous meetings and those really fun meetings? But one of them was expert assistance, which, of course, at the time, the library staff are going, oh, we can't say we're experts. But we realized that, we can say we're experts. We have expert assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And because the CATL staff is really good, and they are a public resource. Mm-hmm. I mean, Book a Librarian replaced computer classes. They changed classes, became learning how to be an entrepreneur. I mean, social media classes for people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, technology changed, self-check, the app made using the library easier and faster. And I don't know, there's just so many changes. I can get so excited about it.
You
know, I've been gone a year and I'm still getting excited about all the way changes happened in CATL.
I know, it was great. We could just use this, the answer to your question for a marketing campaign. You've answered it perfectly. Well, one of the things that you talked about, too, I remember your time here, is you did a refocus for our outreach department. You talked about the strength that they've become. Just looking back on some of your other accomplishments here at CATL, what was your most memorable accomplishment?
Well, I think the community outreach reorganization, because that also included reorganizing the whole downtown staff as well.
Sure.
And that's, so if I have to have more than one, because I have to include that one. But then I also the public service grants.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was a small thing, but it was something that I really felt strongly about, and I really liked doing it. I mean, I kind of talked about it with the library heads, and the idea was to put money in the budget and let the library heads pick projects that were public service related. It was a very simple process. All you had to do was fill out an application, a one-page application that said what you wanted to do, and you were basically going to get it because, you know, they all talked about them ahead of time. We discussed it, what we were going to do. But it got things like the story walks in all the communities, iPads, you know, the brochures in different languages.
Yep.
And there was so many things that the staff had been wanting to do, and they had great ideas, and they were able to use these grants to make it come about. Do you still do it? I don't know.
Yeah, we do still do it. And it's fantastic that the ideas that come from the head librarians, but also just from their staff. So they allow their staff to get input. And story walks are still very big. We're trying to get them in each of our communities. But just some of the other ideas that the librarians have to use those public service grant funds are fantastic. And it's something that you started, and we definitely cannot take it away because of the popularity that it is with our staff.
Oh, good. Because I said that's got to be my favorite one.
And it is.
But I also was part of working with the branch heads and working with the staff on those two. It was really fun.
Sure.
And then, of course, don't forget the app. Don't forget the app. That was always my one of my favorite things to do, too.
It is still. Yeah, it's still very popular. And we have now you can apply and you can renew your card online, and then with the app. You can just use your digital card. And so that is, I always, when I go out in the public and I talk to different people, we still hear just very positive feedback about the library app.
Yeah, well, I don't have an app in my current library, so I miss the app.
See, you raised the game too high for this library system. So,
one of the things
that you Dr. McConnell talked about when he joined us for the podcast is he said that Cattle seems to have the right director at the right time in Cattle's history. Did you feel that way when you were director?
You know, I heard him say that because I listened to that podcast, and I thought, of course he would say something that insightful and thoughtful. I mean, he's such a strong supporter of Cattle. And really, I mean, I thought about it, and I said, you know, he's right. He really is. Because, you know, I had the privilege of working with Sue Hill, who just basically brought Cattle from nothing to what it became. And it was amazing organizational skills she had. I mean, she did an amazing job. And then Lance came in for just a couple of years, so he wasn't able to have quite the same impact, but he was there at the beginning of the recession and the bad times that we were starting to have, and also the lawsuit with open carry. So that was kind of part of what he was having. But me, I think I was lucky because the money started coming back, the economy started improving, and I had such a strong public services background from working at Cattle with, you know, supervising the library heads, and I had this great relationship with them. And plus, I had been working in public services all this time that I think that helped. When we started getting money back, I was able to steer some of our money and some of our things towards public service, you know, projects, which is like, you know, some of the things that I already talked about. And the digital collection grew, which is also, you know, really a public service thing, too.
Sure.
We could send staff to national conferences again. You know, remember we used to say a big ship turns slowly.
Yeah.
But we got things done. I mean, we really did. But I think that I think it's true. I think that because of my public services background that, you know, that I was able to really do a lot in that area, which was the right time for Cattle. It really was.
It is, and that's why, because we started to talk about that with him, because we were talking about Sue Hill and kind of the, you know, as when I became director, I started to look at the past notes of you and of Sue, and it's just, what she was able to do with just starting from nothing and kind of help guide Cattle is amazing, and so that's what I was telling him, and that's kind of how we got on that topic. So,
absolutely.
Now, I mentioned that the head librarians still talk about you, but it's all of our staff. We always thought very highly of you, and we miss you over here at Cattle. But do you have any last thoughts or maybe some advice for Cattle's new director on some direction to take the library or things that you'd like to see at Cattle?
Oh, I can't give you any advice. You've been around a while. You know what you're doing. But I've been following Cattle and followed on social media and seeing what's going on. I've talked to some people who, you know, work there still. So it sounds like everything's doing great. I mean, I just loved being there. I mean, it was just such a wonderful experience.
It is.
And the board was so supportive.
Yep.
They really seemed to enjoy being part of Cattle, and they really got behind a lot of the things that we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you have a millage this year, don't you?
We do, yep.
Yeah, and the last one was so successful, over 77%. Right? I still remember that number.
Yep.
Too. Like
I know.
77 point something, you know.
The bar was raised very high for that, so we have to get it close to that number for passing this year as well.
Yeah, but I think it was partly because I remember thinking about it and talking about it at the time that, you know, we are very successful. I'm going back as if I were there. And let's let people know that, and people can take pride. And I think people really resonated that, you know, the marketing and the message that we got out was that, you know, you have a really good library system here in Ingham County. So, you know, support it. And then I think people, you know, people recognize that you're backing a winner if you keep spending money on Cattle. So,
exactly. And that's a lot of what we're trying to convey, especially in our 20th year materials that talking about how much we've grown, but also looking towards the future and how much we can do in the future as well. So, well, we're not going to let you get out of here without asking a library question. So just give us a recommendation for what you're reading, watching, or listening to.
Well, actually, I just finished reading this anthology of short stories called Prague Noir. And I'd never heard about this series, but apparently it's a series that started in 2004 with Brooklyn Noir. And this is the last one, the most recent one. It's based in Prague. It's written by Czechoslovakian authors. And I haven't been to Prague, but now I feel like I could walk around the city and I'd know where I'd know where I was going.
Oh, cool.
So it was really good. I want to read some of the other ones. They're all over this cities all over the country and all over the world. So I'm really excited about reading some more of them. And I'm also trying to catch up with my Oscar movies because I got a little behind.
Oh, nice.
So I just watched Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, where Frances McDormand won Best Actress, and The Darkest Hour, where Larry Goldman got Best Actor. Both were just amazing performances. I mean, they well-deserved Oscars.
Oh, fantastic. Well, those are some great recommendations. Well, it's been fantastic talking to you, Maureen. I mean, I just talking to you, I really miss having our daily conversations for when you worked here as well. So thank you again for joining us. And joining me today was retired executive director Maureen Herton. Thanks, Maureen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Today, we're joined by a special guest, Superintendent of Williamston Community Schools, Dr. Adam Spina. Adam, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. It's a privilege to be able to share some of the great things that are going on in our school district.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. So just so our listeners can get to know you a little bit better, talk about your history with Williamston Community Schools and your path to becoming a superintendent.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have kind of an atypical experience with the district. Mm-hmm. Started here teaching, actually. I was a fifth grade teacher back in 2003.
Okay.
And between then and now, I've actually left the district four different times and have come back, obviously, four times, and each time in a different capacity. So
sure.
I taught at the elementary, like I said, and then also at the middle school. And then I had left and then came back as a principal of one of the elementary schools here, and then left and came back as the curriculum director, and now as the superintendent. So, you know, it's one of the reasons I've kept coming back is just because of the wonderful opportunities available in this district and the collective commitment to excellence on the part of the staff here and the community as well. So it's just a great place to be a part of.
Oh, fantastic. So I know that you probably don't have many typical days, but could you kind of take us through what a typical day would be for a superintendent of Williamston Community Schools?
Yeah, so I think the answer to that is that there's not a typical day, but that's part of what I like about the job.
Sure.
I mean, you know, every day is new. It offers challenges that are often unforeseen, mm-hmm. But it also provides within those challenges an opportunity to make a difference. And I really think that's got to be your motivation in a position like this. You know, if you, large challenges and small challenges, if you're making a positive impact on the school district and the students and the community, I think it's all well worth it.
Sure.
That being said, one of the things that we prioritize and expect of our leaders in the school district is to be present in our schools and in our classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And so every day I've made it a priority for myself to kind of model that by being in at least one school.
Mm-hmm.
And popping in the classrooms and just getting a feel for what's going on and seeing
fantastic.
Our different initiatives being implemented by our outstanding teachers and
mm-hmm.
and interacting with students. And, you know, again, even on those days that are, more challenging or more difficult, having that opportunity to go in and actually see what's happening. And it's reassuring and it's uplifting. And, like our principals who do the same thing, I think, that's a good day. The more schools you're in, the more kids you interact with, those are the really good days.
Sure. So, probably gives the students a chance to get to know you as well and kind of put a face to that superintendent label.
Yeah. And that's one thing I kind of pride myself on.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm in a classroom or out on the playground or just, out and about, kids know who I am.
Sure.
And,
sure.
That's important. So mm-hmm. I don't want to be just the guy who's in the office. So I'm hoping that at least that's one of my goals is
sure.
that students know who I am, the community knows who I am, and that I'm present.
Sure.
So.
Sure. Fantastic. Well, as you alluded to when you answered the first question, Williamston is known as a great community. They have very good schools. And what characteristics do you see in the community that makes it so successful?
Sure. Well, their community as a whole is proud of the school system here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have throughout the years continued to be very generous to the support that they give for the schools. Now, that being said, the expectations are high. Mm-hmm. You know, many families move into the community solely because of the school district, or they're coming from other areas outside of the community to bring their kids to school here. And so that reputation that we've worked so hard to earn also kind of provides, you know, the additional pressure, so to speak,
sure.
to make sure that you're meeting the expectations of our stakeholders mm-hmm. and of those families. So mm-hmm. So I think it's a great connection between the two. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a high standard to live up to, but I think our team here is understands that and, mm-hmm. You know, steps up to meet that expectation.
Oh, fantastic. Staying on that same topic, what do you see as any future goals or projects or areas of focus for Williamston Community Schools?
Well, the calling card for the district is the our ability to modify our instruction to provide each individual mm-hmm. student the level of intervention or enrichment that they need to be successful. Mm-hmm. It's called the Multi-Tiered Systems of Support, often referred to as MTSS. By its initialization. And that was something that we were one of the front runners on, not only in the county, but also in the state in terms of adopting that. And so it's very data intensive. Mm-hmm. We're looking at students, how they're doing, how they're projected to be doing. And we're proactive about looking for those trends in the data for each student and responding to those before, you know, there's an issue, whether they're not getting the type of support they need to accelerate their learning, or whether they need some additional support
sure.
To pick them up when they've hit a roadblock.
Sure.
So I think that's the thing that we're most proud of, and something that we continue to monitor every year and invest in to make sure that continues mm-hmm. to be a successful practice.
Mm-hmm.
As far as new things, I think one of the initiatives we're most proud of is our K-12 STEAM initiative, and mm-hmm. that's science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. And we are striving to become the district as far as providing that STEAM experience for our students. We know that that is where the jobs are going to be mm-hmm. For kids upon graduation. And we pride ourselves, part of our vision for the district is to be a relevant district. And
sure.
to be relevant, we need to make sure that we're preparing our students for the things that are going to come after their graduation.
Sure.
And so we're a year into that initiative, but we've made huge amounts of progress in just a year. And we're really looking forward to things that are going to come here the next couple.
Sure. And we've actually seen that just in our libraries as well, as there's been a need for STEAM education. And so we've done a lot of after-school programs mm-hmm. Partnering with school districts to have STEAM education or activities for students after school. And that kind of leads into my next question is, we're very excited as a library system to be moving into the middle school space for the library. What are your hopes or goals for how the students will use the library?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's a unique opportunity for the two premier educational organizations within the community to be co-located and to collaborate on providing those mm-hmm. new and unique and progressive ideas for the students and for all members of the community. So
sure.
I think that in and of itself is going to be a huge win for all involved. You know, specifically to our students, I mean, I think some of the benefits are self-evident, that you're going to have access to an unparalleled collection of resources that, you know, as a local school district, we would never hope to be able to acquire. And mm-hmm. those will be available for our students. They'll be available for our staff to use as resources. It's going to provide a supervised and safe location for our students to go and work on homework or a project or collaborate mm-hmm. on a new idea before or after school. And on weekends, it's within walking distance of many of our neighborhoods. It just all around, I think it's just going to be an outstanding addition to the community. And
sure.
it's something that was, you know, not only as a superintendent of the schools, but as a person who lives in Williamston,
sure.
it's something that was much needed. So,
uh-huh.
You know, we're all very excited about the opportunities and the potential for the collaboration down the road.
Oh, I agree. And you know, as a library system, we ourselves too are just very excited about the project and kind of the future services that we can provide to the residents of Williamston and the surrounding area. Just one last question about the school district. What is one thing or things that you would like people to know about the Williamston Community Schools?
Well, you know, we've gotten a lot of positive publicity, you know, especially in the last few years, sure, for many of the different awards and recognitions that the district has earned. So, mm-hmm, you know, Stanford University came out with a study a couple months ago that had us ranked in the top 4% in the United States for academic student growth. You know, we saw the Michigan Department of Education released a report just a couple weeks ago that had Williamson High School as the number one rated high school in mid-Michigan based on their new school accountability system, mm-hmm, that was started this year. And there's been a number of other, you know, national and state recognitions. Sure. We were Bridge Magazine's State Academic Champion District for 2018. Mm-hmm. So the list kind of goes on and on. And I think all those things are great, and we're very proud of those. But mm-hmm, one of the things that I'd love to point out is, we know the academics are there, but we're really proud of how well-rounded an educational experience we're able, sure, to provide all our students. So sure, academics are obviously very, very important, but we also have just an outstanding performing arts program. Mm-hmm. Our visual arts program, we had an art festival last week. We had 1,000 people show up for. Mm-hmm. And obviously, our athletic programs do very, very well in the mm-hmm area every year. So it's, you're going to get a, what I would say, you know, we always see WCS is Williamson Community Schools. We can also say it's a world, you know, a world-class educational system.
I like that.
And so it's not just the academic piece. It's that holistic, whole child approach to education, sure, that we've adopted that I think is a really profound, positive influence on all of our students.
Sure. And I would agree with that. When I attended some of the school board meetings in preparation of the library moving into the middle school, I was just really impressed with the diversity as far as the presentations that you had. You talked about athletics, you talked about arts programs, and it was just, that's what I came away from it with, is just a really well-rounded experience for students where they could kind of follow their interest. And that was one thing that I came away impressed with about your school district.
Absolutely. And, you know, the credit for that really goes to our staff. I mean, mm-hmm, we have an awesome support staff. We have just first-rate teachers and educators throughout all our buildings who, and we talk about selfless service. I mean, these mm-hmm are folks that put their heart and soul into this every day, and you know, the results, I think, speak for themselves. So sure, I'm very proud of what they do.
Sure. Well, we're not going to let you get away from us without asking one library question. So just tell our listeners what you are reading, watching, or listening to.
Yeah, so true story. when I interview folks for positions in the district, uh-huh, actually the last question I ask them is, tell me about a book or an article that you're reading right now that's like informed your professional practice. So I hope I'm not giving away all of my interview questions, but it is something we ask because we, sure, one of the things we look for in our team are people that are lifelong learners and mm-hmm are continuing to invest in knowing more about their profession. Mm-hmm. So there's been a variety of things I'm reading. I mean, I just finished a really good book on Stalingrad, and mm-hmm I'm currently reading, it's an older biography of Lindbergh, and Mitch Albom's new book as mm-hmm well. So I'm rotating back and forth between cool the three. But one of the other things I wanted to point out, and I don't expect any of the listeners to pick this up because it's not a page turner by any means, but as a district, another part of our vision is to be evidence-based. And so sure, we're continuously looking for what is the most recent and relevant literature in the field of education. And mm-hmm so as our leadership team throughout the district, we're actually reading an author by the name of John Hattie and his latest book on the most effective math instructional practices. And mm-hmm so we actually have a book club mm-hmm that we do every month with our leadership throughout the district. And, you know, we've been reading that and talking about it. And then, of course, the next step will be using the lessons learned within that literature and rolling sure those out into the classrooms next year so our students benefit from those instructional practices. Sure. So, again, not something I'm expecting people to run to the bookshelves to pick up, but I think it just kind of speaks to the culture that we have in place here in our sure school district.
Sure. That's fantastic. I've really enjoyed this discussion and learning about Williamson Community Schools. And, again, I'm just so impressed with the school district here and the value that it brings to the community. And with me today, my guest was Dr. Adam Spina, who's the superintendent of Williamson Community Schools. Thank you so much for joining me, Adam.
Much appreciated, Scott. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks.